This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
But dude averages 18 yards after catch.
We get it. When you're passionate about something, you go all in. You live entirely in that world. That's exactly how Graybar is about renewable energy projects.
He's all fourth quarter, such a
sleeper. Join our league of clean energy at Graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Halfway home, it's 12:05 in Pittsburgh. Welcome to the 12 o'clock hour of the Pomp and Joe Show. Our number to call the hotline is 412-928-9370. Also, the fan text line, same number. It's brought to you by Edgar Snyder and Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless they get money for you. And fan Twitter is brought to you by South Hills Kia in Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. Joel Nelson behind the glass. Call him. He'll put you on with me. And we're talking about a variety of things here today on this Friday. The Penguins digging out from what is a big deficit right now for them. When you look at the standings, you know, it's not so much the points. It's about where they are and how many teams they have to overcome because it's not easy because you don't expect all these teams to lose while you're winning, if that's what it takes. So you're you know, potentially in a situation where you can keep winning and, you know, not move up all that much. Quite frankly, that's the difficult part of where they are right now. And it all starts with back-to-backers, but they wasted no time. That thing ended last night, and here they are playing back-to-back games coming up here. So it's not going to be easy. Right now, the Capitals have the best record of any team in the Eastern Conference. They come here tomorrow. It's a team that you would never have expected this. They have a plus 56 goal differential, and they're really good at home. They don't lose at home. They brought in Logan Thompson from Vegas, signed him to a big deal, and he's been outstanding at goal, but they play very tough in front of him. They don't give up a lot of chances. They're playing tight to the vest, but they're winning, almost like the Devils used to do. 36-11-8. Carolina is second. Jersey leads or trails Carolina in the Metropolitan. When you look at the wild card situation, again, the Penguins right now are eighth overall. They have to get to where Detroit is right now, which is 61 points. The Penguins have 55. That doesn't sound like all that much. But when you factor in, they got to get over Montreal, the Islanders, the Rangers, the Bruins, and the Columbus Blue Jackets all at the same time. And you can do it, and the way you do it is you win about 5 to 8 games in a row, and they can maybe do that. But can they, have they shown you enough? They're a minus 37 in goal differential, one of the worst marks of any team in their division, and they have to play strong defensively against two teams coming in this weekend that can score goals and play the way they played in Washington and the New York Rangers. So that's the task they have. Not insurmountable, certainly, with time left, but they got to get hot real fast. 412-928-9370. Back to the lines. We begin with Tony and Butler in this segment. Hello, Tony. What's going on?
Hey, Bob, how you doing?
Doing well. How about you?
Good. I have a question about the lack of revenue sharing in baseball. Like, if you look at it, the Dodgers' payroll this year is going to be over $390 million. Their TV contract is for $321 million.
Right.
My question to you is, like, there's 26 teams that can't even come near that. Why don't the 26 owners that are on the bad side of this, can't they vote to share TV revenue?
Sure, they could do it, but they are all making money. So it may not be as big amount of money as, you know, you can do it if you went that direction, but it's enough to make them happy. And if you're somebody like Bob Nutting, you could be happy making money despite losing and finishing in last place. So for him,
yeah, Bob Nutting's a problem.
But it's not. There are a lot of owners that do this too. That is an issue the league should take very seriously and one that they should strive to change. Now, the big markets, They'll balk back at that. They say they have what they have. They're willing to spend it. But there's no equal distribution of revenue shared. And it has to be. You have to have a floor. You have to have a ceiling. All these things. But it would require massive changes. And the Players Association, quite frankly, won't like it. If you look at the average contract that's being played out there, baseball players make a lot of money on average. And they're all you know, one rising tide, it raises all ships. And that's what's happening here. So you could be on a bad team, but you're still going to get a good contract because of the way it works. And as long as they continue to make money and there's money to be made in outside agencies that they deal with, it reduces the need to try to be competitive, I think. And that's a sin. It shouldn't be that way. There's a lot of taxpayer-funded stuff at work here. And if you're going to pay taxes on a stadium, then you should expect the team that plays in that stadium to be competitive and make an effort to be competitive. Their payroll is going to go down from last year, and it was embarrassing last year, I thought.
Yeah, it's like you're saying, it's too easy for these teams to just not compete and just be happy making money. But do you think long-term baseball can survive doing that?
Yes, because they already have. And you know, it's not good for the game, in my view. And you can make the argument that, look, some teams catch lightning in a bottle and win more than you thought, get to the playoffs. But generally speaking, you know which teams are going to be there at the end of the day. And I don't think that's a good thing to know. And you can say the same thing about football. There are some organizations, but they have to do it based on the merit of their management skills. They, you know, when everything's even, when it comes to revenues, then it's up to that team to make the right decisions. And if you don't, you fall back. And if you do, you go ahead. Right now, it's just the Pirates know they're not going to be realistically competitive. And so they don't have to spend. There's no emphasis on spending. There should be, but there isn't.
Yeah, I just think it's bad for the game that, like you said, there's only five or six teams literally that can compete for a World Series. And unfortunately, we're not one of them.
Thanks, Tony. I appreciate that. I'll say this, that, there is a way to do it. If you're, like, terrific in the draft department, make shrewd trades. I think the Marlins over the years have shown you that. Tampa Bay has been able to do that. Oakland. But none of them have won anything, you know, on a consistent basis. Kansas City did. Then they fell back. It's about, to me, an equal chance and opportunity every single year. I don't understand why it's so difficult to just get everybody together. And if it means pain in terms of shutting down the game a little bit to get what's better for the game, I would do it. But I don't think you're ever going to see that happen. Bob joins us right now on the Fan Hotline. He's in New York City. Hello, Bob. How are you?
Hey, Pomp. How are you doing?
Good.
Pomp, I've listened to you guys just recently, the last 2-3 years, and obviously I listened to WFAN here in New York. You've got the talent. The question is, has FAN New York ever reached out to you?
For radio? No. I think, Andrew Filippone is from there, and I think that if anyone's going to do it, it's going to be somebody like him. You know, there are a lot of talented people in this business, and you have to have that ability to just keep things going and the conversations going. So,
well, I wanted to throw this out. I've been a longtime Steeler fan, and you and I both have seen the offensive line grow old, the defensive line grow old, at divas that I can't take wide receiver divas anymore. I'm also of the philosophy of a year too soon rather than a year too late. That's why I'm looking, and I know it's not going to happen, Bob, but I'd love to see Pickens, TJ, and Minka all put on the trading block. I love TJ. I mean, he's a great contributor, but it's a business. And at this point in time, the Steeler team, and I'm not sure about your opinion on this, Bob, but I just don't think we're a top-tier team, and it's going to take years to get there if we don't make some dramatic moves.
Yeah, first of all, I agree. I don't think they're at the level they need to be at. Will it take years? Probably not. If you do it shrewdly, you can erase this deficit that they have in terms of where they are competitively. And it may take moving one of these pieces. I understand their policy in trying to keep greats around as long as they can. But the problem with that is, as you cite, it's a business. And you're trying to change the dynamic of what you have available to change an offense that needs as much help as it can get right now, I think. And the defense does too, quite frankly. You'd be hurting your defense if you traded TJ Watt. But you'd have to make shrewd moves with whatever return you'd get from him. Even with him and Minka and Cam Hayward, they were not a shutdown defense. In fact, they gave up drives when you least expected it, at killer points of games, like the one in Philadelphia, where, or it was in Baltimore, wherever he, Russell Wilson fumbled, and they just immediately go right down the field 96 yards and scores. That's where the defense could have helped the offense. So they have holes there too, but if you want draft equity, if you want things, you're going to have to be bold with some of these moves. No way would I see all three. Can I see one of them being traded in this offseason? Yes. Most likely it would be George Pickens, just because I don't think he fits in necessarily with how they want him to be. He has so much talent, and you're going to have to make sure somebody who acquires him understands that. There's a talent here, so give me something in return that helps me as well. But, yeah, I don't think I expect much in terms of all three of those guys going.
Hey, Bob, last question. In the draft, do you see us going wide receiver or defensive tackle?
Both. First and second, second, first, however you want to do it. Those are the two positions of big need. I think that's how they'll do it.
Terrific. Bob, all great right. talking to you. Wish you were here in New York.
I appreciate that, Bob. Thank you. That's high praise.
Take care.
All right, man. Thanks for listening. Let's go out to Bill in North Huntington. He joins us right now on the Fan Hotline. What's up, Bill?
How you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
I really don't understand the ownership not making any moves to with this pitching staff to try and improve the team. It makes no sense to me. I mean, it boggles my mind.
Well, they did make a trade for first baseman, and whether or not he's going to be anything when he comes back from injury, you know, Horwitz is, I don't know what he is. He's a 12 home run guy. Can he be better than that at first base when he's here? We'll see. They gave a pretty good prospect in Luis Ortiz to get him. But to your point, they haven't spent a lot on free agency or anything like that. And that's the thing. Time's ticking. It's tick, tick, ticking away from the Paul Skeens era, which is not going to be long to begin with. But you would thought this would be the time to really step up and do something, given the talent of this young pitching staff. It has to have a compliment. You don't want to see them lose one-run games. They're going to lose one-run games left and right, maybe. And that's not what you want.
How long do they have Paul Skeens for?
5 years, I think. He won the Rookie of the year, which took a year away. So I think it's five. And then, you know, and even before then, if you're not going to sign him to the kind, let's say he has the kind of success you predict here, that he's a Cy Young one-time winner, he's always really good, he's got a low ERA, and he is the premium pitching prospect in all of baseball. Do you think he'll be here that whole time? No. They'll try to move him when they can get something for him, and that may be a lot at some point. But in the meantime, you have him. All I would like to see them do is make a legitimate effort to bring in some bats here. And maybe this trade of Andrew or the signing of Andrew Haney is going to open up a trade to bring in a bat or two. They got to do something because they haven't done much in this offseason.
It's just so disappointing being a longtime Pirate fan.
Yes,
I've
it
given
is.
Up.
Well, I mean, they're going to be in games. Trust me. I don't think the pitching staff will keep them in games. They got to figure out ways to win those close games. Thanks, Bill. Appreciate the call at 412-928.
Oh, thank you.
Yes, sir, 9370. Mick in Uniontown on the air right now. What's up, Mick?
Hey, Bob, how you doing? This is Zelma's husband.
Zelma! Zelma's one of the best. How's she doing?
She's struggling right now, but she's doing okay.
Please give her my regards.
I sure will. Since it's baseball season, have you heard anything about any rule changes or anything? I know they were talking a couple months ago about guys coming to the plate twice in one inning, like pinch hitting and stuff. And
yeah, but that's not that's just conversation for now. That's not going to be happening.
Well, I thought maybe they would try it in spring training or something.
To my knowledge, they're not, but I wouldn't be surprised if they do. I mean, that's always a good way to, you know, and they did that with a pitch clock too. Just try it.
Yeah.
Give guys an opportunity to have a month getting used to it and see what happens. I don't know if that's on the docket. I do know that electronic strike zone, the talk has increased there. Whether or not we see that, who knows when, but I don't think there are any specific rule changes that are big ones like we've seen in the past.
And they'll probably keep the extra innings the way they are right now.
Which I don't like. I'd rather not see that.
I don't either.
I know they did it, you know, COVID years and stuff. They're trying to, I understand. But, man, you start a runner at second base. I don't like that because immediately, you know, you can take a lead and it puts a lot of pressure on a pitching staff that inherits right off the bat.
I don't even like the fact that they can't shift. I mean, hey, you play your guys wherever you want to. The batter's got to hit it the other way.
Yeah, you would think so. It challenges batters to do better, and they haven't done that. No. So, no, I don't, yeah. Mick, I don't think there's anything drastic. I'll double-check that for you because I haven't really paid attention specific to rules, but normally they come out with something and we find out about it, and nothing specific so far.
Do the Pirates play today?
No, tomorrow.
Tomorrow.
First game's at 1 o'clock. That's right. You could hear on 100.1 a.m. All right. Thanks, Mick. Say hello to Zelma. 412-928-9370. Let's take Jerry on the north side. Jerry's on the air right now. What's up, Jerry? Hello, Jerry. Are you there? Somebody there, but he's not answering, so we have to skip you. We're going to go to John in Cleveland, Ohio, where the big question is, what do they do with Myles Garrett, John?
I don't know. They've caused about as big of a disaster in that regard as imaginable. So I could see him going to the Lions, the Commanders especially. I think the Commanders would be my bet on that. But
yeah, both those teams. Could you imagine him in Detroit with, you know, a healthy defense after they missed all those guys?
Him and Aiden Hutchinson paired together would be the best pass rush duo in the past, at least 10 years, probably since something like Von Miller and DeMarcus Ware on the Broncos.
So what's up?
The notion of the Steelers just basically unloading all their premium talent for draft capital, I just think we really have to stay away from that because teams that end up at the top of the draft generally got there through bad decisions, bad circumstance. They didn't get there through some sort of organized unloading / tanking campaign. I mean, look how that's worked out for the Browns. They found some success. They found some good draft picks, but it didn't lead to any ultimate success, what they really wanted to do. And the nature of team building in the NFL, the nature of the salary cap, the nature of player development, any team, unless you're the absolute worst in the NFL and just had a disaster happen, no team is that far away from being a true contender. And the Steelers did some genuine good things last year. They're on the station, and I agreed that they looked like a genuine Super Bowl contender until that disastrous last month. And that's no excuse for the last month. There's some definite holes that need filled. But this team, if a few things can be filled and a few different things can go right, it's not a disaster. And just think about the nature of the NFL and the nature of equality of teams, equality of team building. Don't tank. It's not right.
And believe me, I tend to agree with that. I know Joe sometimes can bring on the tanking talk, and there are reasons that it's worked in the past with several teams in different leagues. But I'm doing is acknowledging that guys up there who could bring in potential draft leverage and equity are available if they wanted to make that move. And when you consider guys in their 30s now getting new contracts, that is a risky ordeal. Even, you know, Cam Hayward has proven that he can still play at a high level. We don't know that about a lot of guys. If you put a lot of money into it, all of a sudden, then at the end of it, you're going to have dead cap hits, and you're not going to get much for those players. That's all I'm acknowledging here. A guy like Pickens could be traded, yes. A guy like TJ could be traded, yes. But they most likely won't do that.
About Minka in particular, they can make a move with him, can make sense, but just don't trade TJ. And if you can get Pickens head back on straight, keep him. But Minka, I agree with you a little bit on Minka.
Yeah, we'll see how that goes. A lot of off seasons yet to come. The combine's coming up, and there'll be talk about people being released because of cap implications. There could be a lot of movement here, both without a trade and with a trade. So, John, thanks very much. I know Cleveland's had their share of down seasons, and all the money they put in Watson, man, they're still going to be dealing with that time and time again. We're going to take a break here. We have Jeff, two Jeffs, Ed, Mike, and Riva all coming up right here on the Pump and Joe Show on a Friday, 412-928-9370. Want to remind you also, again, the Fan is turning 15, and you're invited to the big anniversary party. It's on Wednesday, February 26th. That's next Wednesday at Rivers Casino. Listen, the party is free, but you need a ticket to get in. So all you have to do is go to Jackworth Ginger Beer on Hamilton Avenue, proudly serving Boyd and Blair from 1 to 2 p.m. tomorrow. That's Jackworth Ginger Beer on Hamilton Avenue, 1 to 2 p.m. tomorrow. The first 10 people will get a pair of tickets to the party or head to Allegheny Community Federal Credit Union in Scott Township on Monday from noon to 1. For more information, go to 937thefan.com.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
College holds a mythic place in American culture. On the new Campus Files podcast, we uncover the scandals you won't hear on the campus tours. Find Campus Files on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back as we continue here on Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan. Joe Starkiez, a much-deserved day off today. Bob Pompeiani with you until the PM team takes center stage here at 2 o'clock. We've been talking a lot about football. We had Ray Fittipaldo on, some of the issues facing the Steelers, and some of the decisions that need to be made. We're also talking about the Pirates and whether or not you believe their pitching staff is good enough to be competitive, at least for a wild card. And would they utilize some of their blue-chip pitching prospects to acquire a bat or two? And what about Henry Davis? I hope he has a really good spring. I hope he hits the cover off the ball and forces them to use him somewhere. That's not in the plans right now, it would appear, but they got to make sure that guy, who they spent a lot of money on as number one overall in a pick, can be a factor moving forward here. It's almost like no one's even talking about him so far. And, of course, Four Nations. Last night, Canada beat USA in overtime, even though I thought USA really had some outstanding chances, which made me wonder why Jordan Binnington, the goaltender from the St. Louis Blues, who turned back the clock to 2019 when he won a Stanley Cup with them. You might remember they made a coaching change. Craig Berube came in. They were dead last in the entire NHL, and they go on a run and win a Stanley Cup. It was Binnington, whose elevation really made a difference in that. Well, he was outstanding last night, and I didn't see that. I thought that it was going to be the other one with Connor Hellebuck changing the dynamic for the USA, but he made some spectacular saves, the best of which was on Brady Tkachuk in overtime, also Austin Matthews. It set up a chance for Connor McDavid, who buried one, and he was unguarded in the slot area. Nobody was there on top of Connor McDavid. That's a mistake, and USA paid the price for it as they lost that game. So Sidney Crosby continues to be undefeated in these international situations, and good for him. But a lot of people wonder what that means with all these injuries, as you saw in that. It was a passionate 10 days, and now it will implicate some of these teams who are trying to win, knowing that these guys have some significant injuries as a result of this. Overall, though, I loved it. I would like to get your response to it as well. At 412-928-9370, beginning this hour with Jeff in Ambridge. Hello, Jeff. What's going on?
Hey, Bob. How you doing?
Good.
What's up? You know, I wanted to talk about an issue that's been talked about but hasn't been talked about in my eyes, and that's run defense. I was looking back a little while ago, like the 2005 to 2009 seasons. Mm-hmm. 62 out of 67 weeks through that period of time, the Steelers never gave up 100 yards rushing.
And, you mean to any one specific team or a 100-yard rusher, period?
100-yard rusher, period.
Okay.
Like from 2005, from week five to 2007, Ray Rice was the first guy to go over 100 yards in that amount of time. That was 30 weeks.
That was a pretty stout defense all the way through. I mean, they made a couple appearances in the Super Bowl, so yes.
Exactly. My point exactly. And the only thing that, and unfortunately, I mean, I love Dick LeBeau as a coordinator, but I can remember, you know, they wouldn't allow 100 yards, but Brady, like every time he'd face him, I mean, it was just like a dink and dunk. He'd just dink dunk all the way down the field to beat him.
What is your point, though, Jeff? You're talking about
my point is, like, we're talking now. You know, the Steelers are giving him 350 yards rushing, 295 yards rushing, and
right. I mean, it's
before we weren't giving up 100.
No, it was
yards.
It's a failure of their defense. For as much money as they put into it, they needed better results. There's nobody's debating that. The question is, how do you get better at that? And it starts with some stud guys on the defensive line, and so that's going to be probably their number one asset to look at in this draft. That and wide receiver on offense.
Starting from there, and you look at the Eagles and what they've done. You know what their front four. It starts right there.
Right. Well, they drafted it. The Steelers just spent, and thanks for the call, they spent a lot of money on and draft position on offensive line. Now they're going to have to do the other side of that ball. You can't ignore that. And I think if guys who were drafted, like the Marvin Leal, if he had developed, if we had seen more from Keanu Benton, I still think there's a lot to be seen from him. Hopefully he'll take it to another level. If you could see Loudermilk, a guy they drafted and hoped he could be that guy to come in, not to mention some of these free agents that they brought in, like Dean Lowry, they have not gotten the kind of performance from those guys that they need to get to make, you know, a consistent front four of that defensive line. And so that'll be one of the biggest addressed items this year. There's no question about that. Reva joins us right now. We haven't had a Reva on the show in quite some time. I'm sure you're not McIntyre, but Reva, welcome aboard. What's up?
Now, if it was Reba, I wouldn't mind being calling that. I'd be making a lot of money.
Yes,
but
you
at
would.
Any rate, I wondered about Fitzpatrick. They've switched people. He was in a better position, I think, the year before. And what about putting him back where he was the year before this?
Well, when you say put him in, Reba, you're talking about letting him be a dynamic player back there. That is a lot more freedom. That is having him move around so that you can't predict where he's coming from. Is that what you're saying?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I'd like that too, to be honest. I mean, they kept him back there for a reason. But even that, there were some big plays given up. So while he may have been good at playing the, quote, center field area, you know, I still think I would rather have him in positions of unexpected explosion. You know, somewhere where he can be like a Troy Polamalu, because I think he has the talent to do that. You know, he had one interception that came very late in the year last year. They need more of that from him. But where they're putting him means that they want to try to make sure nobody goes deep against them. But people still had success deep against them at times. So
That's right, because of the run defense that wasn't there.
Right. So, again, the holes are there. They have to address them all. But thank you. That's a good way to look at it, Reva. And I hope you have a nice day. Thanks for calling. The first Reva I've had on the show. Like that. Jeff, an ordinary name, but not an ordinary man. He's in the car right now. Hello, Jeff. How are you?
Hey, Bob. How you doing?
Good. Thanks.
Hey, just a couple quick things. So on the Steeler front, I think that they have an opportunity at number one to draft a running back, because that's the way they seem to want to run their offense. I mean, if they could get Jenny at number one, I think that would be a great pick.
No, I wouldn't do that. I'm not going to put that in the first round pick.
No?
Nope.
Even with the depth of the wide receivers, I mean, what do you think, a receiver?
I think defensive line, and I'm still looking at those two big positions of need. I think running back is easily fixed without having to go this route. They did it once before with Najee Harris. I wouldn't do it this year.
Okay. Well, on the other thing about the Pirates, last week the general manager came out and said he's not done yet as far as signings. And I know they signed that pitcher yesterday, but do you think, do they talk, like, would he be in contact with other teams about maybe a first baseman or a right fielder that may come available due to maybe younger talent that the other team has?
Certainly. They got to keep all that stuff open. And, Andrew Heaney is not the guy I was looking for when he said they're still not done. They talked about a big move. At least that's what he was quoted as saying. That's a big move, then I'm sorry, I'm not looking at it the right way. However, this move might pave the way for another move or two to be made if they utilize some of the assets they have in their minor league system to acquire some bats that have been proven on the major league level.
Well, we can only be so helpful or hopeful. That's what I'm hoping for.
I don't think that, you know, what they need, they have a pitching staff that should keep you in a large percentage of your games. So from that point of view, you need bats, yes, but you have to go crazy here. I just would have expected much more activity in their offseason when it comes to spending than what we saw. Tommy Pham is not going to get it done for me. I'm sorry.
I agree. Thank you, Bob.
All right, Jeff, thank you. At 412-928-9370, let's keep it moving. Ryan in New Jersey, who always brings a good hockey perspective. So, Ryan, did you like the Four Nations? Are you willing to absorb the injuries that you saw?
I think, yes, absolutely, because hockey needs that kind of promotion. But the reason I called the guy right off the top of your show, made the comparison to hockey, to the NHL, what they're doing with the Four Nations, to the NFL, and it has absolutely nothing to do with the Steelers or the NFL. First off, they only play football in the United States in the first place. So I don't get it. Like, not everything has to come back to the NFL. I did like the tournament. Great action. They all cared. I mean, it was real, you know, maybe too real if the Kachucks are out there. I mean, Matthew Kachuk, if that groin is pulled significantly, boy, they're not going to like that too much.
No.
Defending champion, without a big player. But I did like, now one thing I do want to hammer, Sullivan I thought did a pretty good job mixing and matching. He did, you know, when you give him the tools, he's a much better coach, but your, you know, your depth isn't there, as we've seen the last few years. But Bill Guerin, those five players from New York, the four from the Rangers and Brock Nelson, what are you doing? Like, bring Thompson, bring Roberts, bring a sniper. Like,
Cole Caulfield's another guys. One. They have a guy who's a young sniper from Montreal.
They brought four guys who are supposed to be great. Or no, Adam Fox, who's honestly like one of those dancing Nancy defensemen. I hate defensemen who can't play defense. He gave up. They picked on him for both of the last two goals.
Certainly
last
did, yes.
And he just broke it down. McDavid got off the schneid for being non-clutch. Austin Matthews firmly kept himself in non-clutch. So,
I thought he had a good game, though. I thought last night was his best game.
He didn't score. He didn't.
But Jordan Binnington was the reason. Binnington was better than I thought.
Oh, he was. And right after, in the scrum after, John Cooper had a guy in a headlock, and he was talking his ear with Binnington. I didn't realize at first. But, he was on the bench. Binnington was over there next to him, and he was saying something in his ear. So, it's good to see him succeed, you know. I thought Hellebuyck was fine. But, I love the tournament. I love the action. Definitely need to expand it to, you know, the elephant in the room team that wasn't there. It is what it is. You need that kind of thing to promote your sport from time to time.
Yeah, especially that. You know, NHL or the NBA does, or the NFL doesn't have to do it, but hockey does have to do it. They are not viewed in the same lens as these other professional sports teams, so it was good for them.
Yeah, one final thing. Jake Guentzel, and I didn't lament them trading him and not paying him $9 million a year last year, but man, is he is a clutch little SOB. Eichel, you know, some guys, Werenski, Slavin, and some guys have really great journeys. And Guentzel's, Dylan Larkin was a hunter the whole time. He was stalking the ice the whole time. But Jake Guentzel, man,
Guentzel, I thought if I would have picked an MVP type of player for that team, if it would have been him.
And he almost had it in overtime. That one that fluttered up over Binnington, it almost fluttered into the net.
He had a great tournament, and I think he's sneaky good. And that's the thing about him. He's always been like that. He knows where to go. He knows how to do it. And he's not afraid of crowded areas. Ryan, thanks for the call, man. You always made good points. I appreciate it. Have a good weekend. Let's go to Ed in Myrtle Beach, where it's probably a lot warmer than it is right here. What's up, Ed?
Hey, Bob. How are you doing?
Good. What's going on?
It's about in the mid-40s down here. It's been a pretty cold winter down here.
Well, I'll trade you.
Nothing like the snow up there.
What's on your mind?
One thing I wanted to mention was that I don't think that Russell Wilson is our future because of his age, and I think Justin Fields should get a chance. And I think that unfortunately, the Steelers would have to go into a losing season to get a high draft choice to get a quality quarterback for our future like they did with Ben Roethlisberger.
Well, yeah, you have to be in that top 10, 15, you know, range. But you can get there by trade also. I mean, there's nothing to say that even if they end up with another 10-7 season, let's say, and Justin Fields plays well but not good enough to be your, you know, they make a decision, they can move up and they could try to move from 20-21 to 9 if they have to. But I'm anxious to see, and I agree with you, Ed, thank you for the call, Myrtle Beach, that they got to go with a younger guy here. I still think he has some untapped talent. I hope I'm right, and I hope I see it in the pass game, because you know what he can do with his legs, but that should not be his primary weapon. It has to be being able to throw and make good decisions and accurate throws from the pocket. Every quarterback, even those who have the legs and the wheels, have to develop that. Lamar Jackson has certainly done that over time, where he can kill you in the pocket, he can kill you with the legs, and that's why they're always a team that is going to be in the hunt. They need to develop that from Justin Fields, and if they can't, then redraft the position. We'll come back with Mike in Plum. You'll be up next, Mike. We're due for a break here. Again, a reminder to you about the Fan turning 15 and a big anniversary party next Wednesday at the Rivers Casino. The party's free, but you need a ticket to get in. If you head to Tom's Watch Bar on Saturday from 2 to 3 p.m., the first 10 people will get a pair of tickets to the party and head to the Allegheny Community Federal Credit Union in Scott Township on Monday. If you don't have success there with the Watch Bar, and you can do that from noon to 1 on Monday. Noon to 1, Federal Credit Union in Scott Township. More information on any way to get tickets, go to 937thefan.com. We'll be back with more right here on the Pomp and Joe Show. It's 12:50. The 50-minute mark on the Fan is brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, Route 19 in Peters Township. A lot going on today, talking about the Four Nations, talking about the Penguins, trying to climb over six teams to get into that wild card position. They're only 6 points out. They've played more games than some of these teams, so they have to dig out by winning a lot of games. It starts tomorrow when the Washington Capitals come to town, the best team in the Eastern Conference. Who knew we would be saying that this deep into the hockey season? 412-928-9370. Canada wins. Sidney Crosby continues his unblemished record in international competition. Your thoughts on that and the toll it took on some of these guys coming up, as well as Steeler offseason. We're heading to the combine coming up soon. What do you think is on the Steelers' wish list? Mike and Plum is on the air right now. Mike, thanks for waiting. I appreciate that. What's on your mind?
Bob, so if a running back is so easy to get in the high middle to higher rounds, how come the Steelers have not been able to find one is my question.
Well, I don't know that they've really looked. They found Jalen Warren in an undrafted situation. He went all the way.
They did, but they don't think he can carry that weight for a whole season.
Well, I don't think they're
in enough.
Well, they wanted to split. I think they learned from the first year when they had Najee Harris touch the ball over 400 times that was a lot, too much maybe so, on one guy. So they split the duties once Warren became, very apparent that he was going to be a contributor here. So I don't know that they've made any distinction on that. And I didn't say the word easy to find. I say they're more readily available to find. You could find running backs. As long as you have a good offensive line and a scheme that works together in tandem, you can have success as somebody who's not drafted or a late-round pick. And this team needs more than just running backs right now. They have much other bigger issues.
They have big holes everywhere else. Yes, I agree. So thank you.
Yeah, thank you, Mike. Appreciate that. But it starts with wide receiver, and they got to figure out. I'm wondering what the market would be on a guy like T. Higgins. He's going to cash this in at the right time. A lot of people in Cincinnati would love to see him back there, but, man, they've invested a lot in Joe Burrow. They've invested a lot. They're going to. They got big decisions with these wide receivers to make. And so I think it'll start there, and we'll see what happens. But he's going to be available, I would think, given the cap constraints that they have in Cincinnati. Let's go to Neil in Butler, PA. Hello, Neil. How are you?
Hey, how are you?
What's up?
Real quick, I would touch on the running back. I think in the last 20 years, I think people have realized the running back is not a first-round position that you draft.
First of all, you look at Gibbs in Detroit, he would argue against that. Bijan Robinson in Atlanta would argue against that. There are some. Saquon Barkley comes along. And you see what
they
mean.
Everybody all the time, maybe is the wrong way to put it. I just wanted to touch on that. I think the league in general doesn't really draft, unless you have a complete team, you don't really draft a running back in the first round.
And the other thing I would say about that, I'm trying to take up their case. It's a de-emphasized position with regards to salary. And I sometimes wonder about that. And if you're those running backs, you take a beating handling the ball 25 to 30 times a game, whether it's pass catching or running. You touch the ball more than any player not named quarterback. So why should you not get more money in that regard if you're that good? I think you should. We saw McCaffrey cash in. Even a guy like Derrick Henry got $8 million a year. Now, he's a little older, but that's a bargain,
nothing.
Right?
That's nothing in NFL standards, right?
So I wonder what Najee Harris will command. And it'll be more than 6.7.
I really wanted to talk mainly – that was my opinion just on football. Generally speaking, I don't running back on football. I would not generally take a running back.
Okay.
What else? Hockey. It was fascinating to hockey. Now, I don't think they should do it more than, I think, every 4 years. Now, whether it's the Olympics, whether it's this kind of a setup. And also the year that they do it, they got to figure out a way to maybe shorten the season a hair. Like now the Penguins are turning around playing tomorrow. If there's several teams that turn around playing tomorrow, that's a pretty quick turnaround.
That's a very quick turnaround.
And
they got back-to-backers, no less.
Right, and in the past, these guys show is just amazing. Just for the country, it's just. And if you don't admire that, whether it's and I would we all know like the guys that said the elephant in the room, they got to be in it too. Get the politics aside. They should have been there. And just the passion, right? We see the other sports, you know, when money's not really there, do they really have the passion? And these guys do. And I don't know if they got paid for this tournament, stuff like that, but that's not really was my point. The passion they show is amazing. The heart that they show, it is truly something to be said for hockey players.
Wow, and they needed, thanks, Neil, for the call. They needed this tournament to be successful. And I think I'm waiting to see the numbers from last night's ratings, but the last time they played, it was record-setting, at least over the past 7 years. We'll see if it met that last night. I suspect it would, because there really wasn't much else going on other than some regular season NBA games. There wasn't else opposite, so I bet it's going to get a record-setting number. We'll find out later in the day. Andy in Burgettstown, you're on the Pomp and Joe Show. Hello, Andy. How are you?
All right, Bob. How are you? Hey, everybody's talking about the draft and the quarterback need a top 10 pick and all that stuff. Well, I got plenty of examples to say you don't and everything. Aaron Rodgers was 24 in the first round. Lamar Jackson was number 32. And then the bad side of it is Jamarcus Russell, number 1 overall. Ryan Leaf, number 2 overall. I mean, there's been quarterbacks that drafted in later rounds, too. Favre in the 5th. Dak Prescott.
No question about that. 4th for Dak Prescott, I think it was. But Brady in the 6th. I mean, you can make a list.
Yeah. Right.
There are going to be mistakes.
Top 10 pick.
Well, I think your chances of landing a good one increase if you do have a top 10 pick. You'll have a choice of things. And that doesn't mean you're going to make the right choice. Chicago, all you have to do is visit them to know that they haven't done that. They did it with Mitch Trubisky. Should have taken Patrick Mahomes, who went 10th, to your point. And there were, you know, other guys. Jalen Hurts is a second-round pick. The Steelers, interestingly, had a chance to get Hurts and Lamar Jackson and passed on both. So you never know. It's still a crapshoot. With all the information they have, Andy, you still really don't know. That's why I'm not sold on Shedeur Sanders and I'm not sold on Cam Ward. Right. I think both those guys are going to be average quarterbacks.
Right. I would have to look at the quarterback list to see who I would pick because I don't know all the names available and everything. I mean, I understand if you're not comfortable with Shedeur, then don't take him. But there's quarterbacks out there. I told everybody a couple years ago, Brock Purdy should have been a first-round pick, and he took the 49ers to the Super Bowl, and here he was Mr. Irrelevant.
Yeah, I don't know if anyone looked at him as a first-round pick, but he was lingering there, and that's another – you know, the Steelers chose another quarterback in that same 7th round, Chris Oladokun, instead of Brock Purdy. And if they were going to take a pick on a quarterback in the 7th round, looking back, it would have been a better pick to take Purdy, although I'm not sure if he's going to get the kind of money that maybe is – yeah, I guess San Francisco is going to pay it at some point because they have to, but I wonder how much because he sort of tailed off the line. But last year was an abomination for the 49ers with all their injuries. All right, Andy.
I agree.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Appreciate the call. One more before we go to break. That would be Steve in Baldwin. Steve, thanks for calling us today. What's going on?
Hey, Bob, I just wanted to ask you, how did they choose the players for the United States and the Canadian team? Who were the people responsible?
Well, Billy Guerin is the GM of the United States team.
Yes.
And so he and his group of people that he has, and that includes coaches, decide what they think. And you're going to leave guys out all the time. Do you have somebody specifically in mind who should have been there for USA? I thought Russ deserved a chance to play.
Yeah, but I just wondered how much input Sullivan had into it as being the head coach.
Yeah, I'm sure he has some. I think they get together and meet on all four teams, and they come up with what they think is the best options, and they're also looking not so much – it doesn't have to be always the talented guys. It has to be guys who could fit in a third and fourth line. Their roles are defined more frequently in these kind of things because there are only so many games to have. So you don't always want, you know, all the elite skaters on your fourth line when somebody else's fourth line may outwork them, you know, down in the corners or behind the net.
That fourth line is important, yeah. That fourth line. Now, I just wondered how they choose, because it was, like I said, that Bennington was a big, you know, it was a big issue with the Canadian people that he was selected to that team.
Yeah, but they made the right choice.
They sure did. I thought he should have been one of the stars last night.
I thought he should have been the MVP of the game last night, no question about it.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. But I do agree with Nathan MacKinnon getting the overall for the tournament MVP because he was really terrific. All right, Steve, appreciate it. Thank you for calling. Thanks. Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan. We have another hour before the PM team takes center stage. One more reminder to you about the Fan turning 15 and a big anniversary party that's planned next Wednesday at the Rivers Casino. It's free, but you need a ticket to get in. So here are some ways to do it. Head to Tom's Watch Bar, tomorrow from 2 to 3 p.m. The first 10 people will get a pair of tickets to the party, or you could head to Allegiant Community Federal Credit Union on Scott Township on Monday from noon to 1 at Allegiant Community Federal Credit Union. Or more information, go to 937thefan.com. Joel Nelson and I return right after this short timeout for hour number 4 of the Pomp and Joe Show.